state lawmakers have less than a month to finish drafting Wisconsin's next biennial budget, and the powerful Joint Finance Committee hasn't released the full plan on changes to K-12 school funding. School districts around the state are waiting to see what their general revenue is going to look like for the following school year. COVID-19 federal aid is set to run out this year, and the previous two school years provided no increase in per-pupil revenue for public schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the state boost funding for public education? How are changes in enrollment affecting your local school districts? Have you had a vote for local school funding? How did it come out in your community? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nick Ouellette is superintendent of the Hudson School District and board president for the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with that federal pandemic relief aid that's ending this year. I know at least some districts have kind of counted on that. How do you see that affecting school districts here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so over the last 2 years, the federal pandemic aid, we were required to use that as our normal funding increases from the state. So for the last 2 years, the state said, hey, you have federal money coming in. We're not going to give you additional spendable money. So use that federal money. And so we've been using that federal money for the last 2 years to kind of make ends meet. And now here we are heading into the next biennium budget, kind of wondering where are we at with that, because that money's one-time money. It's come, it's gone, it's been spent. So really looking at, you know, where do we go from here? Because you kind of have to backfill the one-time money. And then also, how do we move forward with new spending?
Before we get into what you're hoping to see from the state legislature, I mean, it's June. Schools start, you know, September-ish, right? That's a couple of months off. How does that affect you as an administrator trying to make a plan for the upcoming school year?
Yeah, it's a real challenge for us because our fiscal year actually starts July 1. And so we start working, you know, we start actually into a budget that we're not even 100% sure what our revenues are going to be for the year. And so, you know, we're pretty conservative in our estimates and we, you know, try to be pretty conservative in our spending until we get that final approval from the state to really know what our budget picture is going to look like. It's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for all districts across the state. It's something we have to deal with every 2 years.
Now, people may be familiar with the impact of inflation as they go to the store. How does that affect schools and their budgets?
That's exactly right. So we're not immune to inflation like anybody else. So, you know, we have the same wage pressures that private employers have as we try to hire staff, because there's been tremendous wage pressure with low unemployment, both at our hourly staff, but then at our certified staff, our teaching staff. One of the things that's been a real challenge for us, to be quite honest with you, in the last few years, is we're now having to compete with the private sector for employees. We're seeing more and more folks that are leaving teaching to go into the private sector. So really, that used to not be much of a problem for us. But most, you know, a lot of districts are reporting that we're now having to compete with the private sector as far as for employees, which creates some real challenges for our budget when you have this type of inflation and everything else going on.
Yeah, who's getting hit hardest by that? Because I remember, you know, pre-COVID, I was talking to schools around the state where, especially, either there might be rural schools who couldn't get that science teacher, that special ed teacher, the shop teacher, even in some cases. Who's being hit by the staffing issues the hardest?
You know, I think it's pretty universal across the state and really across the country. It's going to continue to be a challenge for us. There are fewer and fewer people going into education in college as a major, which is creating fewer graduates in that field, which is tightening up the market. You know, just for example, you know, 10 years ago, an open elementary education position, teaching position for us, we may generate 300 or 400 applicants for a job like that. Right now, we're lucky to, you know, generate 20. 25 applicants, and people will say, well, that seems like that plenty for a job like that. Well, if in Hudson, which we're really close to a major metro area here up by the Twin Cities, we're getting those kind of applicants. But when you get into rural parts of Wisconsin, they may not even get any applicants for some of those positions. And that's really a challenge for them.
Talking to Nick Ouellette, superintendent of the Hudson School District, board president for the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators, looking at education spending in the state budget. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, your experiences if you work in the schools. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's look at some of the budget items. We talked a little bit about sort of the general purpose revenue for schools. Mental health services. Governor Evers had $235 million in his budget to promote mental health services in schools. That was removed, along with a lot of other stuff, by Republicans on joint finance. That doesn't mean some of it won't come back. Can you talk about what that kind of targeted mental health spending means for schools?
Yeah, I believe, you know, we've had conversations with our local legislators. I believe they are going to be putting money back in the budget for mental health. And so I don't think it's lost. Mental health funding is definitely needed. You know, one of the most alarming things we have going on right now is the rate of incidence of mental health issues with some of our littlest learners coming to us, first grade, kindergarten, second grade, that are having, you know, mental health issues that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, we weren't having to deal with or see. But one of the bigger issues, even more so than the funding associated with it, is, especially for rural Wisconsin, is trying to find providers to provide those services. And so really trying to look at how can we incentivize to get more people into the, you know, mental health industry and things along those lines so that we can get more providers in the pipeline. Because a lot of times, you know, we will want to spend money or need to spend money on certain things, and we just cannot provide providers to provide those services for our kids.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Perry is with us in Oconto. Perry, hello.
Yes. I'm really disappointed in the Republican Party not being able to fund making Wisconsin better for everyone in Wisconsin, and that includes the school districts, broadband and mental health and clean water. So that's just my comment, and I hope people realize that when they go to the election booth.
Perry, thanks for the call. Nick, we don't have a final plan yet. Are you worried that there won't be any kind of increase? It sounds like you're counting or assuming that joint finance is going to at least have some kind of funding that you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty confident, and through conversations with our local legislators, that there will be some money coming our way, K-12 education, specifically related to mental health, but also just in general revenue for us to be able to spend. I think they realize that. You know, we have the same pressures as everybody else. We have wage pressure, like we said, inflationary pressure on buying supplies and utilities and everything else. We need some additional dollars coming that way. And just how much is enough or how much is reasonable, you know, that's in the eye of the beholder, I guess, at this point.
Thanks for that call, Perry. Nick, one other part of the school funding formula, of course, we haven't talked about yet, local property taxes. Schools, districts going to the voters and asking for an increase in a couple of different ways. This last election cycle saw a dip in the number of approvals after they've been going up, as I understand it, over the course of a handful of years. What are you seeing when schools go to the voters for that local boost?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, school districts have had to consistently go back to operational levies in order to make ends meet. We went for an operational levy even in Hudson here, and it failed 53-47 as far as the vote. So we'll have to look at going back with the revamped plan. But it is, I get it. I understand. People feel like they're already paying too much in taxes and it's hard to continue to raise their own taxes. You know, it is a challenge. I get it. But, you know, certain services people have become accustomed to and expect out of their public schools. And in order for us to deliver those services, we need to be able to have money to do that. And that's a big challenge for us. I think you're seeing more and more districts that are having to go to operational levy. And some of them may be doing it a little preemptively because they know it might take one or two or three bites at the apple before they can pass that levy. And they don't want to get to the point where they're having, you know, they don't pass it and they have to make massive cuts to their staffing, which has a negative impact on kids.
Talking to Nick Ouellette from the Hudson School District, superintendent there. He's also board president for the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators. We're looking at state funding for schools as we go through the state budget process for the next couple of years, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see a particular need for the school in your community, whether you're a concerned citizen, a parent, a student yourself, or you work at that school? What do you need? What would you like to see state lawmakers and the governor do? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Nick Ouellette, Hudson School District Superintendent, Board President for the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 as we look at school funding in the midst of the state budget process. What would you like to know about the costs of operating a school district? What goes into those local budgets? What would you like to see from state lawmakers and the governor when it comes to school funding? What does your community school need? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nick, I know we've seen some enrollment declines across the state in public schools. A Wisconsin Policy Forum report says 30,000 students fewer since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. How is declining enrollment affecting schools?
Yeah, declining enrollment is definitely a challenge, and it's actually a challenge across the state, across the country, because birth rates are down, and they've been down for quite some time. They've never really rebounded since the 2008 recession. And so one of the big challenges I try to explain as simple as possible is if I have four classroom teachers in fourth grade in one of my elementary schools, and they all have 27 kids in each class, and then the next year, that fourth grade has 25 kids in each class, and there's still four teachers, I'm down eight students in fourth grade. Yet that revenue, which is close to $100,000, is gone, but I don't have the ability to reduce the expenses because I can't go down to three teachers. I have to keep four because three teachers would be 35 kids, 33 kids per class. And so what happens with school districts is, although yes, there's declining enrollment, and yes, school districts do make adjustments to their staffing, it's not as easy as saying, well, you lost 20 kids this year, you should be able to reduce two or three teachers in relation to that, because it could be 20, 30 kids across 50 different classrooms. And so that's the big challenge. And it's not unique to Hudson. All the school districts have those challenges. And so you have to be able to still get some additional revenue in there in order to maintain your expenses that are somewhat fixed.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Fort Atkinson. Jim, hi.
Hi. What I'm calling about is the SB 301 proposal, which has within it a no law for any advisory referendums. Now, I don't know how much that affects schools, but I mean, I'm not sure what the legal thing is for advisory referendum. But if this means the people in the state of Wisconsin cannot have a referendum and find out what people want around the state, what they're interested in, what they want to spend money on, if SB 301 stops that from happening as a law, I think that could seriously hurt education.
Jim, thanks for the call. Now, I think it's an important distinction, Nick. As you mentioned, this is about advisory referenda. That, as I understand it, doesn't include the kind of school funding referenda we were talking about earlier.
That is correct. So that would be the type of advisory referendums that, you know, the state government or sometime local governments put on ballots to get feedback on something, versus when we go for funding referendums, whether it be for capital projects or operational, there's very specific language. That bill that's in the House would not impact those at all.
Jim, thanks a lot for calling at 800-642-1234. Nick, we see in the news fairly often, you know, some heated political debates springing up at school board meetings in districts around the state, around the country on contentious issues. but we see polls that show, I think, a fair amount of support and trust in schools, not universal. Are you seeing these kind of, are you hearing these kind of things from other administrators in the state where they're seeing these heated moments coming up in their meetings and their interactions with the public?
Yeah, I think in general, it's not unique to school board meetings or anything like that, that I think, you know, we've got a much more volatile political climate than we've had in a long time. And people feel very strongly about their side of issues. And so, yeah, I would say that, you know, we are seeing that more and more often. We are seeing, you know, things that typically haven't been very divisive have become extremely divisive issues. And it is a real challenge to manage, because it's, you know, people feel very passionate about things. And we try to remind people that, you know, for the vast majority of things, we have much more in common on both sides of the issues, regardless of what the issue is, than we have differences. And so continually looking for that common ground on a lot of things is important. But I would say, yes, it's been a much more challenging environment in school districts in dealing with, you know, strong opinions on both sides of any issue. Neither side has a total monopoly on the high ground there. We tend to get beat up on both sides of any issue just about all the time.
Talking to Nick Ouellette, superintendent of the Hudson School District, board president at the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators, looking at financial issues, funding issues facing schools around the state as lawmakers work on the two-year budget for Wisconsin. Still time for you to join in. What does your local school district need? 800-642-1234 is the number. Go back to your calls now. Marty is with us in Lake Geneva. Marty, hello.
Good afternoon. So let's digress a bit to the comments about lesser children. So let's say if there was 100 children last year and now there's 90 kids. Unless those 10 families left the state, aren't you still getting the same revenue from property taxes to go toward that? And if so, wouldn't you end up with a surplus? Unless I'm missing something, and I'll listen to your response off air.
Marty, thanks a lot for the call. And this is another great clarification. Marty's talking about the property tax, the local property tax that goes to the schools, but there's that per pupil funding that's coming from the state, Nick.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And so really what it is you have to look at it in the aggregate, you know, the overall district number. So you could have some grades that are up and some grades that are down, but overall, you know, our funding is tied to the total number of students in the district. And so one of the challenges can be, I gave you the example about fourth graders, that fourth grade classroom. It could be that fourth grade then moved on to fifth grade. And previously we only had three sections of fifth grade, but now we need to have four sections because it's a bigger class. And so that kind of funding goes with them. So all of those, there's just a lot of different components that go into it. And I know districts are trying to cut back expenses. It's just not quite as cut and dry as people would like to think. Okay, yeah, for every $100,000 of lost revenue you have, you can just, you know, reduce staffing. And you have to remember, staffing is our biggest cost. About 85% of our budget is in staffing because we're in the people business, and that's what we do. So, you know, it is a big challenge for us. And then I think the other thing people have to remember is when it comes to the property tax piece, yeah, even people that have kids at home and their kids graduate and go off to college, they're still paying property tax. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that about 70% of people that live in a school district, they don't have any kids in the actual school district. They don't work for us. They don't have, and that's pretty common in most districts across state. They don't work for us. They don't have kids that go to our schools. Their biggest connection to the school district is that they pay the bill. And, you know, we need to be cognizant of that and obviously try to be good stewards of that money. But whether their kids leave or stay, they're going to still continue to pay property taxes. It's a complicated formula that the state's put together. But the biggest challenge is our overall net amount. When that doesn't grow, it makes it harder for us.
Thanks for that call, Nick. In just our last minute or so, we've covered a lot of ground. Any other priorities as you watch the progress of the state budget?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple of big priorities, you know, trying to get per pupil increases, but also our reimbursement on special education spending is about 29%. So that means every dollar that we spend on special education, we get reimbursed about 29 cents. And so we're just trying to get that reimbursement up to about 60 cents on the dollar, because whatever we don't get reimbursed, that has to come from our general fund for those additional services. And so that's a big push. The special ed funding is a big push. It would help all districts across the state, because all districts run deficits as it relates to educating our kids with disabilities. We want to do it. We expect to do it. We welcome to do it. It's just some kids need a lot of services, and we just need the financial resources to be able to educate them. It's Nick. Very important to us. I think the last piece I would leave you with is we need some level of surety or clarity for long-term planning. And so I think, you know, the sooner we can kind of understand what the budget looks like, the better off we'll be. And if they can do some things, put some long-term mechanisms in place so that, you know, we kind of have a little bit of an idea of what our revenues are going to be moving forward, that would be greatly appreciated. I know that's very difficult. And I also know that we're not the only part of the state government that needs funding. And so we're well aware of it. We just know that we're in kind of a tough spot right now. We could use a little additional help.
Nick, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
That's Nick Ouellette, Hudson School District Superintendent and Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators Board President. We've been talking about budget priorities for public education.